Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we're back discussing women and haunting again, and we have a very, very exciting guest on the line this week.
Yes.
Sylvia, are you there?
I am indeed.
Sylvia, how are you doing? And first off, pronounce your last name for both myself and the kids at home.
It's a lot easier than it looks.
Okay.
Vic Culo. It's a lot easier than it looks, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I've been trying for a while to wrap my tongue around that one, but I've not been able to get it. Vic Culo, that's much easier.
Took me forever.
Were you the one that was last to learn how to spell their full name in school?
No, luckily I married into that name, but our kids did.
So they know the struggle. Well, anyways.
Oh, yes, they do. It is very real for them.
Sylvia, very, very glad to have you on this podcast. We're just going to kick it off, I guess. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
All kinds of things that I do. I'm Sylvia Vaculo, and I am the cast manager for A Petrified Forest in Altamont Springs, Florida. We are an outdoor scare trails. We have two separate trails with different themes. I started with them. This will be my sixth year with them. I'm so excited. Well, I always loved Halloween, long before I got into the haunting side of it. That was one of my favorite holidays. So it just kind of was a perfect marriage because I come from a theater background. So I kind of happened through fortune, actually. A friend of mine was out there and said, I know a lady that would do what they were looking for, a cast manager, and then they said, I know this lady, and they said, sure, bring her in, and the rest is history. I've been with them ever since, and I love it.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I noticed learning about you, was that you definitely have that theater background, are still actively involved in the theater.
Right.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
Yes, I think you have the longest list of involved in of anybody that I've seen.
Yeah, one look at your Facebook page, it surprised me to let you put all that in the involved in, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just, I stopped doing it after a while. I work in the community theater level, so whatever different community theater group I'm working with at that time, and there are quite a few actually in the Orlando area, so it's fun. I bounce around with different companies, and just I'm fortunate to be able to pick projects that I really like, so that makes it a lot more fun for me.
So I guess going back in time, what was your first kind of haunting experience?
Oh gosh, I grew up in the Central Florida area, and so there used to be like these old school haunts, you know, like independent haunts in Orlando. It was long even before Halloween Horror Nights. And I remember going to those as a kid, you know, and driving in back in Orlando before it was this, well, it's not really a metropolitan, but it's a lot bigger than it was.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be going down country roads through orange groves, like, where are we going? You know, it's like half the fun was getting to where you were going, you know, because it was very creepy and scary.
Yeah. And you might be killed on the way. You never know.
Exactly. Don't do that. No. But yeah, so like I said, that helped with the ambiance of it all.
Right.
And then as I got older, it was just like such a great holiday all through my teen years. Like, you didn't have to worry about forgetting a Christmas present or somebody not liking what you cooked at the Thanksgiving meal. Christmas is great. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love all the holidays. But Halloween, you just put on masks and people give you candy. I mean, it's a win-win situation.
It really is.
For me. Yeah. And I have to admit that my Halloween decorations probably equal to or greater than my Christmas ones. And
yeah.
I just, we've always done it. It was a family tradition that when the kids got old enough, we would always go to Halloween Horror Nights, and it's just everything Halloween based. I love being scared, and now I love to scare. So I guess it works out both sides.
Yeah. It sounds like it does.
Yeah. And you came at actually haunting from the theater side, as we noted, and you were brought in as a cast director.
Definitely. That's my niche. I admit it. I love working with the people of it, the actors, you know, everything plays its part. It's one big machine. you know, and I like doing my cog, which is to make sure that the actors are happy, they're well trained, they're doing their jobs. And I mean, it's work, but it's fun work. I mean, right. I can't believe they actually pay us to scare people. I mean, what better job could you possibly imagine? You know, I just can't.
So you do work at a paying haunt then, because that is one of the things in the industry that some places work on volunteer only, and some places are nice enough to pay their actors and their staff.
I think up north it's maybe easier because I've gone to a few conventions. I loved your convention podcast, BTW. I really did. And I was so proud because as you were listing all those things, like, oh, I did all that stuff already. Yay. I was so proud. Because like I said, I still feel like I'm a new kid on the block when the haunting world, because I talk to these people that have been doing it for 15, 20 years, 40, you know what I'm saying? And you're just like, the legends in this industry sit down and talk to you.
Yeah.
And they share their experiences and their happies. And it's just neat. I love it. But I came in through the theater side. I did. I came in actually knowing absolutely really nothing about the haunting world at all and got thrown in the deep end. But it was just... something clicked. I loved it. And even though I probably wasn't the best cast manager that first season, we can edit that out right now.
So,
it sparked that fire. And like that next year, I was already at MHC, you know, attending seminars and just feeding that fire. And it's just amazing, this industry. I really, really love it.
So are there challenges that are unique to the haunt industry versus the theater industry?
Yes, actually. And because I mix those two worlds, the biggest time I have sometimes is to remind my actors that, yes, they're actors, but they're haunt actors now.
Right.
And there's a difference, you know, and I'm not knocking the performers because I need them too. But it's a different genre. It's far more interactive than most theatrical performances. There are exceptions, but normally when you go to a play, you go in, you sit down, and you watch the actors up on the stage.
Right.
But when you're going through a haunt, the actor's right there, you know? Mm-hmm. So getting the concept to them that, you know, it's the whole show is the story, you know, so they have to play their part and helping tell their side of the story. And it's, you know, you don't get the whole scene, honey, you know, you gotta keep them going.
Yeah.
We're not Shakespeare here. We're a haunt, you know, but we're here to entertain. And it's just that balance of getting them to just get a slightly different concept of a performance. You know, it's not like acting in theater. It isn't. Huh. It's a different beast, and it's fun though. It does have different challenges, teaching them to be safe.
Right.
That's a big one.
Oh yeah.
Learning how to scare without getting punched in the face or, you know, just, you know, that the little tricks of the trade, because a lot of places that I go to, you'll see the actors come at you and they're coming head first. And it's like, sweetheart, you're going to get punched. Please don't do, you know, I cringe as a trainer when I see that stuff going down.
Don't lead with your chin.
Yes, exactly. You know, and the opportunities that, this business affords, though, like I said, with the leaders so willing to help you. And like last year, it was really awesome. I'm sure you guys know Dan Caro. He came out and helped do a training seminar with my actors. And that was amazing because it opened their eyes to different concepts because he sees things a little differently than I do, you know, and it's neat to open their eyes. And I do have actors that are just my haunt actors too. And I love them as much. And it's that measure of that balance. If I could talk, it would help. That balance between entertaining and keeping your energy and working as a team, that unit, you know, you really strive for that feeling when you're working with your actors.
Right.
Right.
And getting that teamwork in there.
And one of the things I always find, and it haunts elsewhere tend to lean very heavily on local theater groups because there is a natural overlap there. But I think one of the areas where a lot of traditional theater students struggle is the improv nature by itself. If you're used to acting from a script, if you're used to acting, you know, having your lines, you know, fed to you, this improv nature can be kind of tricky.
Yes.
It can be very difficult, like you said, be more interactive and to read the situation. And that's one of the reasons why I know a lot of haunts have started trying to tap more of the improv comedy circles, too, to get people from there, not only to, you know, get people that are really good at improv, but also to teach actors to think on their feet and to, you know, sort of guide a little bit and thinking a little bit differently, I guess.
Strategically, yes, yeah. And it is. And I have my improv people, you know what I'm saying? You do. And I think that's the big thing, too, is as you're hiring and going through the training process, we do different kinds of games, incorporation, some from theater, some of the stuff that I've learned from haunting, too. And watching them interact there, it's a good way to start, like, vetting out your improv people. You know what I'm saying? People who yeah. are, like you said, quick on their feet or able to come up with something quick and funny and out. You know, it's right. like, it's not your stand-up routine, dude. You've got 3 seconds to make me laugh or scared. And then, you know what I'm saying? That's really all you have. But when they get it and you get those ones that have that ability, it's wonderful. It really is. But yeah, mm-hmm. it's different, and not everybody gets to talk.
Yeah.
You know, we have creatures. You know, creatures don't talk. They grunt, they snort, they squeal, they make all kinds of
they bang
noises.
On things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and getting that across in their mind that there are nonverbal communications. Yeah. You know, yeah. you can express your emotion and your feeling and your attitude, like you said, through a multiple of things. So your body, your sounds, your, you know, whatever you're, like you said, banging on the walls or that. What creeps me out still is like that little whisper in your ear. You yeah. know, that's yeah. far more creepy than me. Me well, personally, well, we all have what scares us, right. you know?
Well, one of the things that always gets me and something I think good haunt coaches are able to pass on is body language use. That very unnatural, unexpected body language, whether it's super rigid and frozen or it's super hunched or super altered in some way that you don't see outside of that environment. It can look very uncanny valley, even if it is a human actor.
Yeah, and the movements yeah, can be animal-like. And
mm-hmm. Props. I took a seminar with John Liffenboy from Zombie Army Productions out of Chicago.
Yeah.
And he gave a really good course on that, and we really have started again, trying to implement. Like I said, I learn every time. That's what I love about this thing, too, is you always learn from everywhere. Like you said, in the seminars, talking outside to people after the, you know, just there's so much knowledge to gain. And that was one of the ones that, like, once he brought that to my attention as a trainer, I was like, oh my, wow, you know. And then we were doing that whole class, and it is, and what, how your body, you know, what part of your body you lead with definitely determines the kind of character that you're going to be. You know, you instantly have in your mind, if I'm going to drag my right foot, well, then maybe I was shot. You know, it makes them think and start developing character on their own too, which I like as a trainer. The more my actors want to come to me and say, oh, I was thinking about this and I really want to, that to me signals you got them, because they right. are invested as in their character as you are.
Yeah.
You know, and see that spark and watch them make the connections and see how their part plays. I think that was the biggest thing as an actor trainer too, is because everybody wants to be the improv guy or the big right. scare guy, and nobody wants to be the person that's a distraction. I love being a distraction, you know,
yeah.
personally, it's fun, you know, and they get them all and they think, oh, I'm out of this room. And then boom, you got them, you know, great scare from your partner on the set. So, and learning that stuff and the psychology of the scares, you know, what makes people scared? What scares you? You know, what scares me is, it's not always the same thing, but yeah, I like that the conveying of non-human characters and, right. and the ability to make them believable too.
Yeah. The owners. How do mm-hmm. they feel about giving actors more rein with their parts?
I actually am very fortunate that the ladies that own A Petrified Forest are amazing, and they've let us really grow. You know, they started in their friend's backyard, and it grew for a few years to the point where she's like, I have a porta potty in my driveway and police in my neighborhood. You have to move.
Right.
So this will be their 10th year actually coming up at the location that we are now. So mm-hmm. that's really cool. Yay. And this is, like I said, my 6th year with them. They do. They really are very encouraging. I'm the one most of the time that wants more structure than them sometimes. But I think that's my theater side coming through, because I don't want you know, if you've worked on the set and you've worked on the scare and you have the script and what you want going on to the haunt, and you come in there and all of a sudden your monster, who is supposed to be this ogre from France and not talk, just grunt at people, is speaking at them in a British accent.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but everybody thinks British is scary. It's like
that's
the instant we go to that accent when they think to be a different kind of character. And it's like, I mean, I start doing Deliverance. I start talking like, you got a pretty mouth. And I don't like to talk as much as I really do like to talk. I don't like to talk as a character. I like to be silent. I don't like to say anything. That creeps me out, too, when they don't talk
what
to you.
What kind of roles do you play in the haunt as a character?
I normally have a couple main characters. I do a Boo, one of my clowns, and then I have just, if there's somebody short, I float around because I have to obviously be managing the trails, but
right.
We do dress out in costumes, so if I have guests going to the set, I'm not walking through with a headphone and, you know what I'm saying? I
right.
look like I could be some weird character floating through. And then they look at me and they're like, didn't I see you up front? Oh my God, she's everywhere. You know?
Hey, actor runs, you can have a lot of fun with those.
Oh, aren't they great? I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as the actors are concerned, though, the boss ladies are really very encouraging to try to, you know, because they're there and yes, they're getting paid, but you're outside in Florida in October and that's not cold.
Right.
You know, yeah, they're busting their butts for you for 4 hours.
We're in New Orleans. Yeah. We understand.
Yeah.
You're preaching to the choir, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's very warm and sometimes
it's a very weird time of year in this region, the south, in the lower southeast, in the Gulf
mm-hmm.
Coast. Sometimes it's freezing cold and sometimes it's burning hot. You really have no predictions as to what it's going to be. Luckily, it's usually pretty dry.
Yeah, should we buy a fan or a heater? I don't know.
Both. We need a heater that's
well, it's funny, we start the season like sweating our butts off and then normally by the end of season, if we have a real fire on one of the sets during breaks, you see all the actors like huddled around.
Right.
And running back to their sets when guests come through.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my God. I'll never forget. It was so cold that one night. I called my boss. It's like, are you sure we're opening? And they're like, yep. And I'm like, all right, we're there.
Yeah.
But it was actually a lot warmer because we're in a wooded lot. So the trees actually help insulate us a lot better. You know, when the lights got going and you're moving. So
right.
It wasn't as bad as my big baby self was complaining. The actors were fine. It was their manager that was in cold. But yeah, it's really been a fun experience and it's just improving every year. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's really fun to be part of something like I was at the very beginning, but as they're starting to do their growth, you know, and to see the changes, even in the 6 years that I've been with them,
right.
You know, it's been really just amazing. And the experiences I've had because of them are ones that you'll never forget.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We have a special access night that we do that's only open to people who have time, you know, like if you're on crutches or if you're in a wheelchair or if you need extra time getting through the trails.
Right.
And we started doing that, I think, 3 years ago. And that's a volunteer night. That's the only night where people don't get paid. They just come in on a volunteer basis, and we just run a skeleton crew through the trails.
Yeah.
And every single one of my people, you could ask them to this day, what was the most memorable night you've ever had at APF? And they will tell you special access night.
Huh.
Because you just, there's a one special boy, and I can't remember what he has, but he can only communicate through like his computer.
Right.
You want to talk about a little flirt? He kept proposing to all my female actresses. You know, because we'd let them come out front and take pictures. You know, it's a much more informal night. You know,
right.
So the actors come out in the yard afterwards and they'll pose and take pictures and visit with the kids. And we get from young, you know, like I think he was, I don't know, 11 or 12 maybe, up through. We had some teenagers, and we laughed so hard. His friends were pushing him. They came out of our M scares, and that child was on two wheels, and they were screaming and laughing all the way through the yard. I was like, oh, my God,
that
don't step him over. You know, I'm having a panic attack as the mom figure, you know.
Right.
No, stop running.
Yeah, it's
but
hard to have people stop running once they start.
I know.
So.
Yeah, I have not found a safe way to stop that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, sadly, no.
Either they stop on their own or they find a wall. Those are the only two alternatives.
Yeah, it's like we have a fence before you hit the road, dear. That's about it. So you better stop before you get there. But yeah, it was just fun. The look on their faces, though, is worth it. You know, they have so much fun.
Well, one of the things I find interesting is you kind of, your leap from theater into haunting, you kind of found yourself jumping into a managerial role.
Mm-hmm.
Was that difficult for you, or was there like conflict with the actors, or was it a smooth transition because of your background?
It was a mix of all of the above, maybe.
Fair enough.
A little bit of everything. Well, of course I was met with some resistance, I think, especially from the established actors, because, like, who is she coming in here to tell us to do anything, you know?
We know how this runs.
You know, we know what we're doing. You know, but, I mean, it wasn't, like, that wasn't the general consensus. You know what I'm saying? There was grunts and groans here and there, but we got through, and we've been, you know, going forward since. And, I mean, from the time that I started, I didn't have the first year. So for the last 5 years, though, all the actors from that point forward have only been hired by me.
Right.
So they don't know any better.
Gotcha.
All right. Your secret is safe with us and all the 20 people that listen to this.
Hey, that's just my immediate family there. Now. I'm just telling you.
Well, yeah.
I'm telling you. All my kids, we've just upped the numbers, guys.
That makes sense.
But seriously, they... Yeah, there was some growing pains. Of course there was. I mean, nothing... I'm a director in theater, too. I don't really act much. I like to direct. So I've always kind of been a girl in a guy's world, you know, because there's not a lot of female directors in the theater world either. So you just learn to do what you do and let your work speak for itself. And I just... Like I said, that first season, I admit, I probably was not the best cast manager in the world. I had a theater background. I could help some, but I was like, I didn't know, you know, a distraction was. I didn't know, you know, I'm like, oh, my God. But it
so it's sparked been a big learning curve.
But it sparked it, and I wanted to learn. You know, like I said, by that year, I was already signed up for Midwest Honors before our next season. You know, I was already out and going and trying to take it all in, and it's... That's what I'd love to, like, referring back to your other podcast, but it was so neat, that convention one, and what to look for and what to do, because I think that's really, that was a big stepping and growth point for me, you know, to realize how cool and how big this industry really is.
Right. And when you've gone to the conventions, and this is something we ask a lot of the women in haunting, how do you feel that you're treated as a woman at the conventions? And because the haunt industry is predominantly male dominated.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like the new kid on the block, so I don't really blip on a lot of people's radars, period.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't feel like I'm being boys clubbed out, because I'm not an owner, and that's why this whole conversation got started about women in haunting, period, because I think as individuals, depending on what you do, it comes with its own set of challenges, you know, like I don't know how I'm viewed by most of them. The people that I've met have always been very kind to me. I don't feel like I'm being condescending to at all, which is nice.
Yes.
Gosh, their willingness to sit down. Like, I remember the first time I met Alan Hobbs, he'd come down to Orlando to do something for a convention down here. And he sat outside and talked to my two bosses and myself for a good 30 minutes, just talking haunting. He didn't know us from Adam, you know, but he recognized people who loved what he loved and were, you know, just sponges, really, you know, just like taking in everything he said. It's situations like that and encounters like that constantly. I was at Trans World in St. Louis, and I'm outside talking to some West Virginia haunters, and we're telling ghost stories because I also do paranormal investigating, but that's a whole different story.
Right.
And he's like, oh, you'd like my friend. It turns out his friend was the guy that owns Trans Allegheny Asylum. And so I was just like, you just meet the most unusual people. And when you go to these conventions from all walks of life, and he was just such a down-to-earth person, very, very cordial. I met a lot of the big makeup people. Mm-hmm. And at the time, he was doing a seminar, and he had magazines, and I didn't have any cash on me. And he's like, here, just take them. Get up with me later.
Yeah.
And I did. I mean, I did. The rest of the story, I did. But it was just like that willingness to say, here, you're new. you want, you know, I'm not going to be a, you know, rude and blow you off. They're not dismissive, at least not the people that I've had the good fortune of encountering, you know, and they've all been helpful and have you tried this and, you know, or, you know, what I do in my people or, you know, just that kind of stuff. And they're always all willing. The people that give the seminars, like you said, just talking to them on the showroom floor. I personally have not met with a lot of resistance, but I don't really, I don't play with the big dogs, you know, like I'm saying, like I don't, I'm not going out and training other people's actors or anything like that. So I don't know. As a girl in business, actually, it's not been too bad.
Yeah, well, that's good.
No,
don't jinx me. It's always nice to hear positive stories.
Yeah.
So what kind of roles do you put your female actors in the haunt that you work at?
Everything. That's the one thing. No, I'm serious. My girls, I've got girl stilt walkers. I've got girl chainsaws. I don't care how pretty you are on the outside. Are you willing to get dirty for me at APF? Because we're an outdoor haunt. You're going to blow your nose 2 weeks in and it's going to be black. It's disgusting. I know, but it's the truth. You know, it's like there are certain things that come with working in an outdoor haunt that you face and challenges. And I don't need pretty girls that break their nails and don't like their costumes, not making them look all sexy. I want you to be scary for me, you know, and my girls do that. I've got girls, the funniest story I have is we do a laser swamp where it's the fog hits about waist high, so the monsters pop out, you know?
Right.
And we had a big man complain about those giant guys in the ghillie suit in the laser swamp. And I'm thinking, because my two monsters in the laser swamp are girls that are barely 5'1". I mean, they are tiny girls. I'm 5'9". They don't even clear my shoulder, okay?
Yeah.
And I was like, I legit went back Chicken Road, grabbed one of my actors out, and I was like, this man, you know? She was like, then they stop. It was like, dude, there's no way they deliberately body checked you. This girl weighs 98 pounds soaking wet, okay?
Right.
I've got girls on zip lines. I've got, they do everything. They really do.
Huh.
It's chainsaws, everything. I'm a big advocate of be scary. You know, I don't care if you're a guy, or you're a girl, undecided. I don't really care. Just be scary for me, you know, or be my distraction, or be my improv character that, you know, tells my story through this portion of the haunt. It's what can you do for the haunt? You know, what gift, talent do you bring?
Right.
That you can help make this better.
Yeah. About what ratio do you think you have females to males working there?
Oh, boy.
Crystal with the tough questions.
I know. I'm trying to think because we have roughly like 96 to 100 actors any given season.
Yeah. That's a lot of actors.
I would.
That makes the percentage easy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I would almost say it is mixed, honestly. I know my boss would like more guys, but you take what you can hire. I mean, we've got, you know, Universal in our backyard that we're, you know, that everybody's.
Right.
Everybody's got a haunt. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm happy that we're pulling people every year. And I'm going to say our return ratio is about 2/3, which considering that some of them are going off to school or getting married and having kids, you know what I'm saying? You're always going to have a turnover of your actors.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We're getting a pretty good solid base of people that I think will be with us for the long haul there. And because they've also had kids, so that helps me. I have the next generation.
They're out of excuses for leaving.
You're never going. You're here forever. And
forever.
That's the cool thing is we do have families.
It's just producing future haunt actors.
Yeah, this is setting up the long game here.
Hey, look at the big picture, guys. I'm just saying. I am a big picture woman here, but serious, we do have families. It was really fun. We had a lot of father daughters, brother sister, a couple husband wives, a couple boyfriend girlfriends. We try to avoid that too much, but you know, it's going to happen. But it's fun when you have the generations. Like occasionally, my son, when he can, he'll come and scare for me. You know, it's really neat. It's an all in the family kind of thing.
Sounds like
but
a
yeah,
lot of
I
fun.
Would say I would say it's about half and half, maybe more guys. But that's you know, because we do have like a lot of special things that, like, we have this big box that the guests get in and they get pushed inside to the haunt. So that tends to be four guys right there. You know what I'm saying? Right. I don't even think about that. Four characters right there pushing a box.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and as like we've talked about in previous episodes, there are societal things like further downstream, so to speak, that push more guys into this
industry
than women, and that's changing. It's getting more acceptable for women to be interested in horror movies and Halloween and all that. That's changing. Thank goodness. But it's still
that's
something.
Because those of us who grew up with Morticia Adams and the Munsters, we're all getting older now and we're having kids.
Yeah.
I've done my part. I had five. Thank you.
Yeah. So I can definitely expect that no matter how egalitarian a haunt is, it's going to have more guys than girls. That's just kind of an inevitability.
Yeah.
But it is nice to hear a very positive experience.
Alan Hobbs does the summer one he did last year was entirely female.
Wow.
Hmm.
I know. I like that. When my boss looked at me, I was like, just saying, girls can be scary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have to convince them of that?
Sometimes, because my boss lady always thinks big guy scary, you know?
Yeah.
But she admitted auditions this year. She came back at one point. She said, oh, my God, the girls are better than the guys. Yeah. But then again, my girls don't have to be girly. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I asked one of my girls, will you be a nondescript character? They will. You know, they're not like, oh, you know, I'm not going to wear a corset with my, you know, up to here. And don't get me wrong. I get sex sells. I do theater, okay? If I can put a corset in a girl, I will. I admit it. You know, they look good in them. I love them personally. I don't know. but they don't mind. Like, I've got a girl that's a very large, you know, full figured lesbian. And 90% of the time when people go by her, they think she's a guy. Yeah. 90% of the time. But she doesn't get her panties in the wad about it. She's not all upset. She gets it. I'm here to be scary. I'm not here to be a girl. You know, that's not what we're here for. And that's the mindset I would like to think of all of my girls. You know, they're not there because they're trying to be pretty. They know they're pretty when they're out of makeup. Okay, I don't have to tell you that, you know. But are you willing to be scary when you come in here? You know, and they are, and they will. And those girls will climb around on the ground. They'll come at you like animals. They'll come underneath fences. They're pretty hardcore. I will give some props to my female actresses, not knocking the guys, because they give me their 110% too. They really do, but... The girl, you know, there's not a pretty girl problem, if that makes sense.
Well, do you think there has ever been a problem with the way the guys have treated or looked at the female actors? And if so, okay, guess not. All right. Hey, it's a legit question.
We do our best to discourage dating amongst our cast. It happens in theater too. You get the show romances, but it does, you know, that proves to be problems, because if he's flirting with the girl in that set in the first weekend, by the third weekend he's flirting with the other girl and the first girl's upset, I'm looking at him going, what are you doing to me? You're killing me, Smalls. You know, stop. You know, you they're adults. You can't really lock them down, but we really do try to discourage it, just because it comes with the boyfriend girlfriend issues and fights, and you have enough drama. I'm sorry, when you hit that fence, you're a creature now. You're part of the Petrified Forest creature crew. You're not Sylvia, you're not Carol, you're not John, you're not Tammy, whatever, you know.
Right.
You're a monster now, and you're here to do a job. And like I said, of course you'd get some. It happens every year, but they're learning to be a lot more discreet about it, because they know that Mama Sil does not tolerate that.
We have had
some romances blossom from it, and that's fine too. At the end of season, I don't care. At the end of season, you guys want to date? That's fine. Just give me 5 weekends without making my life more difficult. Okay.
And that is one of the things like we learn from some of the other episodes we've done, is that a lot of times the experience of, you know, a woman or a girl in some cases in haunting, it depends more upon the specific crew they're with than with the industry as a whole. Because as you said, I mean, the industry as a whole, my personal belief in this is coming as a guy. I recognize my limitations here, but we're the freaks and weirdos. You know, what unites us is something very different than gender, so to speak. We're not, we might be primarily a boys club still, but that's not why we're together. We're not together because we wanted to be in a boys club.
Yeah, no, it's the love of the haunt. I totally agree.
It's a passion that goes deeper than that. But there are still, I've heard tales of some, it's been largely isolated individual haunts where the crews and the people were not very good to female actors.
Right.
And that created problems for them. And that sort of set up, that put people that were very passionate about the industry, put them on the fence about it in some cases. And I'm glad to hear that's not a regular problem with where you work.
Yeah. Like I said, I can only speak for mine because I have not worked for other haunts. But I've been in theater. I mean, I've seen it from that side too. It can prove to be problems. But I really try to put the haunt above all else when you're there. You know, that's, yes. We are there for that. Like you said, that is our common bond. And I don't care if you talk to me when we leave those gates. Okay. Cause you know what? That's, you're here to do that. You know, if nothing else, let that be our common bond. And yeah, of course especially with the new season and you get all the pretty new girls and the pretty new boys and everybody's like, oh my gosh. Oh, they're so, I'm like, okay, everybody get your hormones in check. Let's get this going.
Yeah. What would you say is the average age of an actor here, Haunt?
I would say probably early 20s would be the average age, mid-20s.
Yeah.
We do have some kids. Most of them were like grandfathered in because, like I said, they started in the backyard of a neighbor. They're from their friends. So those kids were like some of the actors in the beginning. So our youngest ones, actually, they're all growing up now. Oh, my God. I think our youngest one really is only in middle school now, you know?
Yeah.
Before they were like little, which to me, I know people are back and forth on kids and haunts. I just think it's creepy. I'm sorry. If I go through and I see a kid in a haunt, I instantly get chills.
Well,
Children of the Corn, the whole nine yards.
Well, if they're used in the right way, I can agree with that. And I think that kids do play a creepy role very well. But if they're trying to intimidate me,
like physically?
Yeah.
Like, I've been to a couple haunts where the kids will pop out. I'm like, I could stomp you.
Yeah.
Wave that knife at me again. You'll be a little greasy spot. It's not working.
No, we had a great set one year. We had a great set one year, and the actress would be lying across, like she was like pleading for help and she had a plastic bottle in her head. And as the guest went by, the little boy would twist her head and that she'd wrench the bottle. So it sounded like her neck was snapping.
Oh, cool.
And you know, you work for a haunt when you come through and go, hey, don't forget to do that neck snapping thing. That's really cool.
Yeah. <Keep going. laughs> That does sound really cool. The things that you've mentioned, it sounds like a really cool haunt to visit.
Yeah, it does, and a really creative haunt.
My only experience as far as working for one, I've been to a dozen. Luckily, I've had the good fortune of going to the Legendary Haunt Tour for the last couple of years, so right. I've seen some really super cool haunts. But I love ours. You know, it's what got me into this industry, and, you know, I'm growing every year, learning more every time. You know, what more could you ask for? It's a great opportunity, and it's, it lets my creepy side out.
Yeah.
I can be, so, it's acceptable there. It's socially acceptable to be creepy at the haunt.
Well, of course it is. So of going to all of these haunts, what has been the most impactful or the best scare that you've seen?
The most impactful scare. Oh God. There's so many good ones. Why are you asking me to pick just one?
You can talk about several. It's okay.
Oh my God. Well, okay. Well, the best one, cause they always laugh if I get jumped at all. Cause I just, that's only downfall is now that I walk through, I'm always looking, okay, where's this coming from? You know, it's like you look at it like a manager now.
Yeah.
We had gone to, Screamageddon, which is towards the West Coast. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Talk about fitting the ambiance to get to that haunt. It's a really cool setup. I think they had like six haunts. They had like a general little midway area and then the haunts were off the, you know, all lined around it. And we were doing just a simple one. It was like their outdoor. It's the most simplistic one they had. And we're just walking along and I had gotten ahead of the group and I turned around to say something and the guy was standing right there, you know, and it was like such, I know that's not a really super like amazing scare, but he got me because I legit was not prepared for not, my people dart behind me,
you know,
he was standing right there. I was like, oh my goodness. You know, I loved when I went through Statesville Haunted Prison from the Zap people, mm-hmm. they had the, where they put their kids were these like cages. I don't know if you've ever been to their haunt,
no.
but the way the cages were designed, they're almost like pyramid style. It's hard to explain visually, but basically you would literally have to almost turn sideways to walk between the cages. And meanwhile, the kids are growling at you and jump at you. And I just thought, I don't know if that was a scare, but I just thought it was a really cool effect because, I mean, they're right there, but they can't get you. And you're like trying to figure out how to get around them because it's like you're turning here and then you have to, like I said, slide up this way to go past it. And I just thought that was a really neat effect. Their clown room was a cool one too. They had those bungees where they can like jump at you and then jump back and stuff. And it was all strobey and built at an angle. So it was already setting your mind. You're like screwed up.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that? Wisconsin Fairgrounds. The room that I couldn't get out of.
Okay.
He had it where they could, if the actor scared you right, you missed the exit and you literally like looped back in and came back into the room again.
Uh-huh.
I did that like 3 times before I finally figured out how to get past the actors. It was like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. But that was, I thought, again, I don't know if it's a scare or it's just something that I enjoyed as a guest. You know what I'm saying? Just, it was a sheer like, haunt aficionado, you know,
going, right.
Oh my God, that was really cool. She just made me go in circles for 3 times, you know?
Yeah. No, that's perfect.
Okay.
That was a real cool one.
What's the best scare you've helped set up or organize?
For the haunt or personal?
Either.
Hold on. This might get interesting. Hang on.
My daughter tends to be the brunt of my practical jokes, and my best practical joke on her ever is she was coming through with her girlfriends, and like I said, we had the 2 trails.
Mm-hmm.
They got to the one set, my actors stopped them, her girlfriend knew, I'd let her know in advance. They picked her up, took her off of that set across our chicken road, dropped her into like the 4th or 5th set on the other side, and you could hear her screaming above all the sounds and everything, I hate my mother. She walks down that trail for a little bit, and another one of my guys in the ghillie suit pops up, and she's like, no! And she throws her keys at him, and he stops, and he picks up her keys, and he hands them back to her, and like gestures for her to go by, and she starts to, and right as she goes by, he goes, oh, you don't think it was going to be that easy, do you? Picks her up, grabs her, and then takes her back to the first set that we stole her off of. So personally, that was probably the best scare because she was not prepared. You could hear her yelling how bad she hated me. I'm an evil parent. I really am.
Well, if it weren't for evil parents, we wouldn't have an industry.
Yeah.
That's very true. But the best scare the haunt has ever done, we had a barn set and my actors would pop out from various places, top, bottom, sides, everywhere. And they scared a guest so hard she lost her skirt. She ran out of the set and her skirt fell off.
Wow.
So I have to give it to them as far as one of the best scares. The girl legitimately like lost part, not shoes,
yeah.
not a jacket. Her entire, it's like, how did you leave the haunt with no skirt on, little girl?
Yeah.
I have to say, I've seen lots of hats, lots of shoes.
Yeah.
Sunglasses. Phones,
jackets,
keys,
a couple times.
Jewelry.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people come through in costumes, a lot of costume pieces. How many fairy wings have we collected over the years?
Several.
But, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah, but not a skirt. I don't think we
have a full skirt. Yeah.
No,
that was so funny.
A couple of people wish that they had left their bottom clothing after they had.
Oh, yes. We do have code yellows at our haunt, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Code yellows, code browns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They. I don't know. We might have. I think on the bus one year they did.
Yeah.
Well, this is why
I try to avoid those. Like, okay, maintenance, that's you.
Right. So,
but yeah, I think that was probably the best scare is the girl coming out of her entire skirt. And I was like, and then the rumors were getting around, and I was like, no, that couldn't have happened. So I went to head of security, and she went, no. It was a skirt, Sylvia. I was like, okay. I just wanted to make sure we weren't like making some hyperbole about this, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, a full article of clothing like that I'd never seen before and haven't seen since. It was only 1 time.
Yeah. So we've got a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the events that you're organizing throughout the rest of the year to keep haunting alive in Orlando?
Oh, with my people?
Yeah.
Oh my God. This all started, the one that's coming up on Easter Sunday, right around the corner, actually was the brainchild of my fevered state last year when we decided, what were we going to do? I always try to do something for people here that don't have family locally or can't get home to see them. But my yard's the size of most people's dining rooms. So I asked my bosses, and we came up with this formula for the zombie Easter egg hunt. Mm-hmm. So they would go out and hunt the eggs, and if you open, you had to open the eggs when you found them, and if you opened it, you'd either get candy, an eyeball, a finger, whatever, or powder. And if you opened it and you were powdered, then you were infected and you were out of the hunt. So this year we've upped the ante, and I've added some zombies in there, and we're going to break it down a little differently. They're going to go in groups. You have a certain amount of time to hunt the eggs. Meanwhile, my zombie horde will be hunting you, and if they tag you with, they've got the little squeeze bottles with the colored dye. And if they tag you, you become part of their horde, and you stay in there, and you keep hunting until everybody's, you keep trying to infect other people until the end of the egg hunt. So then the last person living wins the zombie bunny, Easter bunny, which is delightfully morbid that my girlfriend designed. And the winner of the zombies, I found these, like, funny tote bags that we've, like, made all bloody and stuff, and I found little miniature zombies and some soaps that have plastic roaches inside of them. You know? We're all hot! And then one of my actors inspired me, and so for our 4th of July thing, we're going to have a water ball fight, but you fill it up, water balloon fight, but we're going to put non-toxic paints in there too, and then you'll have teens, and we're going to have an epic water balloon battle for 4th of July and then have a cookout afterward.
That sounds like a lot of fun too.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it's Florida in the summer. You know, softball game or, you know, getting dodgeball, it's too hot. You're going to die out there.
Yeah.
So why not come to the wooded lot and throw water balloons at your friends?
Yeah. That sounds like a great time to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping, like I said, both of these are just like they're beta testing right now. It's just the haunters and stuff. But if it grows in popularity, maybe we'd open up public and maybe try to make it a fundraiser for a local charity, you know what I'm saying, and get back to the community that way, because we do the Relay for Life stuff, you know, we'll go and do a shuttle service for people and help them, that kind of thing. We like to try to be involved with the community, and I just like doing warped things for holidays, so if we can make it Halloween every day, I will.
Exactly. You can always use another Halloween.
Heck
yeah. One more.
Well, every day is Halloween. I'm definitely a Tim Burton fan.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, it's been absolutely wonderful talking to you. It's been
well, thank you guys, and Crystal, thank you so much for touching base with me and asking me to do this. It's been an honor and a pleasure. And I told her I've been binge listening to you guys, and I'm loving it. And continued success with your podcast.
Well, thank you. Like I said, so. Tell us again, just for those that maybe fell asleep, which I don't see how they could have with your level of energy.
Wake up!
So, tell us again where you are from, where they can learn more about your haunt, and just generally where to see what you
do. Awesome sauce. Yes, it is A Petrified Forest in Altamont Springs, Florida. If you forget the letter A and just type in Petrified Forest, you're going to get a true Petrified Forest in Arizona. That's not us. And we have a Facebook page, and it, again, A Petrified Forest, or you can go to www.apetrifiedforestaltogether.com, and that's our webpage for any kind of information. And thank you again so much for asking me to be a part of it, and enjoy your haunt seasons, and continue. Are you guys going to be at MHC this year?
I don't think we're going to be able to make it this year.
Oh,
well, haunt season, the haunt conference season is always rough on us because of our day jobs. It never lines up with when we are able to travel, really. I speak at a lot of other conferences, and it's always rough trying to get out to haunt conferences. But usually by the time we're doing haunt season stuff, my schedule's opened up, so I'm able to actually run the haunt. But right now is pretty much peak time.
And I understand the need for the day job so we can do what we love. Too,
exactly.
So
I have to feed the beast, so to speak.
Yeah.
True story. Well, again, thank you guys so much.
Thank you
and
for spending the past hour with us. It's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are awesome and continued success, like I said.
Thank you.
And happy haunting.
Well, on that note, once again, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly, and that's Sylvia.
Bye.
Yeah. And you can find more Haunt Weekly at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, or Haunt Weekly on Twitter. Well, we'll see you guys then. And until next time, have a great weekend. Keep haunting.